Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
So good, so good, so good.
Just in and so good. Thousands of winter deals are in Nordstrom Rack stores now. And that means thousands of fresh reasons to rack.
Because we get the latest trends for way less.
Because I've been looking for these.
Because the best deals go fast.
Save big with up to 60% off. Sam Edelman, Sorel, Free People, Cole Haan, and more cold weather finds. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Oh, my God. Yes, Queen.
Okay. What was that from?
Drag Race, I think. I'm not too sure.
I don't think I've seen that one. That one's definitely a new one on me. I was not expecting that, though. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always been told I can put on a very good camp voice.
So you do?
So I'd check it out.
You do camp very well.
Yeah. My dad was worried when I was a teenager.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'm not sure if it's that's something that you want to be proud of.
Oh, yeah. Don't bother me.
Yeah, you're in touch with your sexuality.
Oh, 100%. Don't bother me, mate. I'm in touch with my feminine side. I don't care what people think.
Good.
So,
as long as you're wearing that wedding ring, everybody knows anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know.
She's a lucky lady, isn't she?
Or man. Who
or
knows?
Man. Or man. Nobody knows at this point. Okay, so today's episode, we have no subject.
No.
Again.
No subject part two?
Part two. Possibly. Or I guess there's a little bit of emails in there as well. So we could call it a fan email episode.
Yeah, listener email.
Listener emails, no subject, something like that.
Titbits.
Yeah, that's a good one. But there is something that I personally have to apologise for. Josh was really unhappy with me after last week's episode.
I was upset.
I was pushing things far too close to the bone. In my defence, I think it may be an age thing, generational thing.
Yes, yeah.
There was a particular word that I used to describe a leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say the word so everybody knows what we're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. I think in these circumstances, it's
okay.
Fair.
So, the word was midget.
Mm.
Now, again, in my defence, I didn't think that was a derogatory term.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that dwarf was an insult.
Yes. Yeah, I will back you up on that. I also thought dwarf was a derogatory term as well as the M word.
So. Now, when I was in school, we had a lad in my class, or one of my class, a few of my classes, that was quite short. Really, really short, to be fair. And I think we were in maths class one day, and the teacher, I think he turned around, he was talking in class or something like that, and the teacher turned around and said, you know, shut up, dwarf. And the lad got really upset, and he literally shouted back at the teacher, I'm not an effing dwarf, I'm midget. And of course, in a class full of teenagers, we all fell about laughing. We just thought it was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, that's kind of put it in my mindset that people don't like being called dwarfs, but they don't mind being called midgets, which is kind of why I use that word. And now, I didn't realise that it was such an offensive term. So I do apologise if I have offended anybody.
Yeah.
But in fairness, I wasn't that directing that term towards people.
No, no. To be fair to you, you were talking about mythical creatures as leprechauns. Yeah. So I suppose it kind of makes sense. I will back you up there. It was just...
I would never call a short person that, to their face or whatever, or even behind their back, necessarily.
Yeah. But the important thing is, like, we had a conversation about it. And I think it is just one of them things where it is a little bit generational, because I was always brought up in and taught in schools and things that you're not supposed to use that word. So when you first used it on the podcast, it threw me off massively, because I thought,
I know it did.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
To be fair, I think that's what, because it threw you off and I saw the reaction, I was like, oh, I'm going to push him on this one. So that is my bad, and I do apologize if I have offended anybody. I didn't mean to. And to try and sort of back myself up, I referred to that, like, there's a sweet that I really like, a little jelly sweet.
Yeah, in the UK.
Yeah. And I know them as midget gems.
Yeah, it's what they were called.
Yeah, they're just small jelly sweets. Mm-hmm. You get them in multicolored packets, made by Maynards mostly, I think. And I didn't realize that they're no longer called that. Because we checked it up, because I was like, well, what about midget gems? You're not allowed to call them midget gems anymore? And yeah, we looked it up. No, apparently, since 2022, you're no longer allowed to call them that. They've been renamed to mini gems.
Yes.
For exactly that reason.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Because they didn't want to offend people. So, in fairness, I don't want to offend people either. You know, I like our listeners. I want to encourage people to listen to us and not push people away because, I'm being offensive or anything. That certainly was not my intention.
I think that's fair enough. I forgive you.
So all the dwarfs out there, I apologise. Am I allowed to say that?
You are, because that's the weird thing,
isn't it?
See,
that to me seems wrong.
It sounded wrong as you said it, but I've Google and... things...
Google that. Yeah, any search results are telling us that people prefer to be... Actually, it was certain countries, wasn't it?
Yes.
I think when we looked it up the other
Western
day.
Western countries.
Western countries, America, England, sort of
Canada.
Most of Europe, Canada, don't like the term. But there are some cultures further abroad that actually prefer the M word to the D word.
Yeah, it's... I mean, we weren't sure to begin with, to be honest.
And now I'm even more confused.
I don't know.
So anyway, short people, please don't be offended. We weren't attacking you.
We now know little person and dwarf is acceptable. They're the only two terms I could see online that were acceptable.
Right.
But this was after the podcast, so...
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
So that was kind of my bad, everybody.
Don't cancel us, please.
Yeah, please don't. So,
now that that's out of the way.
So, because obviously we only did that episode last week, so we haven't had any feedback from anybody. But we thought we'd wanted to cover that before we start getting the hate mail.
Yeah,
which we still might get.
Yes, yeah. But then
before people listen to this one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So there will be a week in between where people are free to complain.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And then everything that they'll complain about and say that we should have done, we've probably already apologised and kind of...
At least it looks now like we were right on it.
Yeah, yeah, to be fair, we were right on it. As soon as we finished the episode, we we had a conversation and actually done a bit of research and looked into it. And we're like, oh, okay, right, now we know, can't use this, we can use that.
And I've got a very carefully edit that episode.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I can't get rid of it completely, but I can at least minimise it.
We can make the best out of it. I'd say 80% of it was a fantastic episode, in my opinion.
Brilliant.
So.
Absolutely hilarious episode. I loved doing it. I loved making it and that. I haven't edited it yet, but I'll edit it very carefully. I've got to edit out a lot more than what I would normally edit out.
But it's all right. If you're listening to this, then they probably wouldn't have noticed editing.
And we hope we haven't offended anybody. Mm. And speaking of offending people, we don't obviously want to offend anybody on this podcast. But our recent book dive, well, it was a few weeks ago for us now, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but the last episode of our latest book dive, the interview with the author, Joe LaRosa, has only just aired this week. Mm-hmm. And we've started getting some quite polarised feedback on that.
Yeah, it's very 50-50,
isn't it? Yeah, a lot of people are saying, yeah, I love it, I want to study it more.
Yes.
And a lot of people are saying, no, I just don't believe it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is why we were careful with our paranormality rating. I know Clive Potter, who put us onto the story to start with, he said he thought it was quite low. He would have gone in the nines.
Clive.
But, well, in fact, you know, he knows the guy. He's friends with Joe. He knows him. He even helped Joe with finishing and publishing the book.
Oh, that's fair.
So, you know, he's gonna be a big believer in it. Mm-hmm. But obviously, we've got to cater for the non-believers as well. And I think that our paranormality rating was fair.
Yeah.
For that reason,
I think so.
We did have one person in particular, your friend, Jay.
Oh, yes. Moistly Jay on Discord.
Moistly Jay on Discord. He sent you in a voice message.
He did.
He actually brought up some very good points, and we asked him earlier if he minded us actually broadcasting his message.
Yes.
And he said yes.
He did, yes.
He definitely said yes.
Yes, 100%. Okay. He said, of course you can, my man. So,
okay.
So but yeah, just a brief thing. So I was shopping in Marks and Spencer's. Check me out.
Oh, looking for mini gems.
Yeah, I was. Thank you for calling them mini gems.
I got to call them mini gems from now on, haven't I? That's that name.
And I randomly got this voicemail through, and it stopped me from shopping where I was listening. And I was like, yeah, he's actually got a really good point. So I'm just going to play the message. So here you go.
Hey, Josh, finally got around to listening to the Chronicles from me and I. It was a very, very good story. I'm looking forward to hearing your interview on the blog. And I like the way you asked those questions about how everything was so convenient. My question is always, there's a trope in most forms of media. It's the arrogance of the ethereal. The idea that humanity can't comprehend this mystical truth, there's an element of this person's grand plan that humanity can't comprehend, despite the fact that we are able to comprehend things like string theory and human psychology, and we understand all about this world, or at least there are people who do. Why are gods always so arrogant as to believe that we won't understand whatever their truth is? It's just a thought of mine that I've been mulling around in my mind. Anyway, you have a nice day, brother. I'll see you soon.
There you go.
There we go. I thought that actually was a very, very good point.
Yeah, man. A really, really good point, isn't it?
I mean, when you think of what humanity's achieved, we've been to the moon, we've split the atom.
Yeah.
Like he said, you know, we've come up with string theory, quantum mechanics and all that sort of thing, even the theory of relativity.
Yeah.
Why would gods think that this truth is beyond our understanding?
It doesn't make sense to me.
Unless it is fourth dimensional knowledge. Because we have a hard time picturing anything above three dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see what you mean then. I had to try and think then about 2D, 3D. Yeah. Okay.
But then, obviously, like a couple of weeks ago, we did like white holes and the general relativity.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we struggle to picture, although we can get our heads around it, is the idea of space-time, which is empty space. The vacuum of space is its own fabric.
Yeah, yeah.
And it flows. And I, obviously, like the other week, I had the theory that it flows out of white holes and into black holes. Mm-hmm. And it's that flow of space-time that causes gravity, that keeps us on the ground. But it's four-dimensional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
It's X, Y, and Z, and time that's going through it all at the same time. So it is hard for us to wrap our heads around that. We can understand it,
mm-hmm.
But it's hard to picture.
Yeah. Like, I still can't wrap my head around light years and things, so I'm no good at this kind of... I just can't think of
it. Yeah, like Moisley J says, there are individuals that really, really do have a good concept of it, that really do grasp it.
Yeah.
And I think he's just got a very good point. If the gods... I mean, at the end of the day, that in the book, they were offered the truth or the real truth.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't pick the real truth?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're told it's too much for them to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they'd have said, oh, we'll just go for the truth, do you think the answer would have been the same?
Technically, wouldn't that be a lie? If you've offered with the real truth and the truth, surely the truth would just be somewhat a lie because they're not going to tell you the real truth. That's the way
well, the
I
whole
see
thing
it.
Was like reaching enlightenment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Enlightenment about the afterlife, about life in general, life, the universe and everything, you know? So, maybe, you know, why can't that be 42?
Yeah. I mean, I remember years ago, I heard the story. I don't know if this is true or not. It was years and years ago. There was a story of a wise monk who reached enlightenment. And he just done constant meditation. And he went something ridiculous, like 40 days without any food, because he was getting all his energy and things from meditating in sunlight.
Right.
And I don't know if that's true, but if it is something like that, where you reach enlightenment and you can fine-tune your body to another dimension and things like that, who are we to say it's true or not true? But that kind of story is interesting, because you would logically go, well, no one can survive 40 days without food and drink.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't know.
There is that kind of religious cult, isn't it, that says you can go without food and they exist without actually eating, because, like you say, they absorb energy from the sun or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I believe the leader of that movement was caught out coming out of McDonald's with a bag full of burgers. And
yeah.
And well, I can't remember her name, but someone who was in that movement released a book on how to, you know, live on starving yourself of food.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was Australian, I can't remember. And a TV company wanted to follow her around for a week, and she lasted like 3 days, and she collapsed. They had to feed her.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, maybe there is a point to it, is that we can't understand that everything in the universe until we have died and we've become an ethereal being ourselves and we actually experience that fourth dimension for ourselves.
Yeah.
Maybe that is the key to it, the reason why we can't.
Do you know the one theory that I've been seeing a lot lately, whether it's YouTube, TikTok, whatever, and I know some people are like, oh, TikTok. Whenever I see a video on TikTok that... Yeah. I think, nah, that's too good to be true. I always do a little bit of research and type things in on search engines just to cover my tracks, because I'm with TikTok, you have to take everything with a pinch of salt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The amount of life hacks I've tried and they just don't work. So thanks to that, I always researching. And I keep seeing this theory pop up where there was this man who passed away on like the operating table.
Yeah.
And he had an out-of-body experience. And he said that he was going towards the white light, that everyone knows that kind of story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when he turned round, there was also a black light, so a dark
light. Oh, a black hole sort of thing.
Black hole kind of thing. And he had the theory that if you go towards the light, that is the afterlife, and you have all your loved ones and people trying to entice you into going to the white light, and that is it. You can turn around and go back into your body to some extent. Obviously, if you're mangled in a car crash or something,
yeah,
I imagine.
Happen, yeah.
But if you go to the black light, it is the theory of reincarnation. And that is going back into like this system of energy and solar system and universe. And
right.
It was just a random theory that I've been seeing pop up everywhere. And I just thought it was quite cool to mention.
From this guy who had an OBE.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Oh, fair play.
But Jack's point to gods and everything is a very good one.
It is, yeah.
Just give us a chance. Just tell us the truth. And then if there's mass hysteria, so be it.
If our brains explode in our skulls, then that's our fault, isn't it?
Things work themselves out, don't they?
Yeah. Exactly. So moving on from that anyway, but sort of moving on from that, but staying within the same vein, we did have a guy write in, Elliot, who wrote in before. Do you remember Elliot, who had that experience, who was burning a photograph and he had that vision of the hanging lady? He had a weird experience just a few weeks ago, he wrote in to us about, where he'd gone to work. He was the first one in, works in an office. He was the first one in, so he was just making himself a cup of coffee. Or brew, as he called it, and he said that in their little sort of kitchenette area, where they make their drinks and whatnot, one of the walls is kind of, it's either a glass wall or a big window that you can see into like the rest of the actual office area. And he said that as he was making his morning cup of coffee or his morning brew, he noticed his boss walked into the room and went towards his desk. So he quickly made a second coffee and walked through into the offices saying, "Oh, you're just in time, boss. I've made you a brew." And he opened the door and there was no one there. As it really creeped him out. Because he was absolutely 100% sure that his boss had just walked across the room, you know, and you know, to the side of his vision. And he went downstairs and he asked, like, the cleaning lady or the receptionist or whoever it was. He didn't clarify who it was, but he said, "How many people are in the building at the moment?" She went, "3, including you." And he said, "Has my boss come in?" She said, "No, not yet."
Freaky. So
when he told us this, I immediately was like, can you let us know if your boss does come in? Because you might be the first one to know about a terrible accident there. But apparently his boss did come in, and he just spent the rest of the day freaked out, not wanting to go in the office.
Maybe he's got the gift and doesn't realise.
I think he does. He's got a bit of the shining.
Yeah.
Possibly since that event with the picture and the vision and that, it's probably switched something on in his brain, which I think can happen with a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think there are people out there that have that kind of gift and power, to whether it's speaking to the dead or seeing the dead or anything like that. Yeah, I believe in it.
Yeah. Elliot has...
It took a lifetime to find the person you want to marry. Finding the perfect engagement ring is a lot easier. At BlueNile.com, you can find or design the ring you've always dreamed of with help from Blue Nile's jewelry experts, who are on hand 24/7 to answer questions, and the ease and convenience of shopping online. For a limited time, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No, don't. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Actually joined our team, so to speak. We have mentioned this a couple of times on the podcast over the last few weeks, but how this has all come about was from our Discord. One day I was just going through Discord, and in one of our topic sections, we got a note from a guy called Penguin, who reached out to us saying, "Oh, if there's anything that I can do to help, I am a Microsoft qualified IT manager. And you guys have helped me out so much in the past. I suffer from like anxiety attacks and whatnot. And whenever I put on your podcast, it helps me calm down, focus, and you know, I'm less anxious." Mm-hmm. So I sent him a private message saying, "Look, I don't really know what an IT manager does. So you know, what are you proposing to help to do?" And he was like, "Well, I could do all sorts. I noticed you struggled with your live stream the other week. I can teach you how to do that. You still got to do that, Penguin." He just started making us a website. I mean, this is all voluntary as well. He just wanted to give something back.
Yeah, very nice of him.
Really nice guy. And in fairness, it helped. His jumping on board like that helped push me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like the last couple of months, or the last few months, all the editing, and I have to do all this in my spare time and stuff, you know. I've been like, oh, put it off. I'll do that at the weekend. And sometimes I sort of rush it a little bit, do it last minute and then upload it and whatnot and think, oh, that's good enough. But he's actually helped me to focus and, put more energy into what I'm doing, come up with more promos and that sort of thing. And one of the things that we were discussing a few weeks ago was wanting to rebrand, make our logo a lot tidier, make it look a bit more professional, because we are getting to that stage now where it's not a hobby anymore. There are adverts on it, we're looking to expand this as a business, if you know what I mean, the podcast as a professional thing.
Yes,
eventually. And so another guy, Elliot, was he approached us as a graphical designer. Initially, he just offered up some fan art on our Discord, which we then said, "Oh, you should join in the merch competition and design some merch for us." Which I think he is going to do. But I reached out to him and said and told him about what was going on, and wanting to rebrand, and asked if he'd be available to help us with that, with the new logo and artwork and that sort of thing. He was right on it. He's really, really keen. And he was like, "Yes, mate, absolutely." He's done us a new logo. That might be up by now. If you've been struggling to find us because we've changed our logo, that'd be why.
Yeah, that's a really cool logo.
But yeah, I mean, and these guys are doing it. Like, we're not paying them. Not yet, at least. I have said to them, if they want to stick with us and help us to grow and become a professional thing, then, when there is a payroll available, they'll be on it.
Yeah, we got their backs.
Yeah. Mm. That's something that I always thought would have to happen if the podcast really did take off. I thought, we probably need to get, like, video editors, business managers, accounts people, marketing, that sort of thing. Like months ago, I was thinking, how the hell do I find these people? How do you put a job advert out for a video editor or a marketing team or something like that? It never occurred to me that these people would present themselves to us from our followers, from people who enjoy the podcast. So, if there's anyone else out there that feels like they could fill these positions, video editors, marketing, accounts, and that sort of thing, business management. Feel free, if you want to come and join the team, hit us up on Discord. Obviously, it's voluntary at the moment. We don't make any money at this.
No.
I know we got some adverts, but we haven't even earned anything off the adverts yet.
No.
But like I say, when there is a payroll available, everybody who's involved will get paid.
Yes. It's one of those things, it's almost like a snowball, isn't it? We're right at that crucial stage now where we're a year on. It's 2024. And
well done.
Yes. Yeah. So it's slowly rolling, but we've kind of hit this wall where it's become real, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Where it's starting to pick up speed now.
Yeah.
And it's mind blowing in a way
that we've
had so much love and support, and people help us and reach out, and Penguin and Polar Bear are doing a great job, and they've already helped us out. And it's like you said,
call him Polar Bear. We already know he's Elliot.
No, you can't say that. You never know. Secret identity.
Okay, Polar Bear. Elliot, Polar Bear.
And if anyone joins our team, they will also be referred to an animal as well.
Or their username on Discord.
Whatever they prefer.
Yeah.
It's really, it melts the heart when you hear about these people that are helping us focus and take it to that next step and that next level. And we have activated adverts, and we've got a few things in the pipeline coming up, and it's just become very real, you know, and it's that, for us, it's that awkward stage between trying to balance a full-time job,
yeah,
as well as this thing that was started off as a hobby and a bit of fun that has now evolved into something.
But then it's still a hobby. It's still fun. We still enjoy it. It's like that point where you realise that your dream job is actually attainable.
Yeah, yeah.
We've just got to help make this podcast grow a little bit more. Well, a little bit more, a lot more, to be fair.
Yeah. We're still early stages, but it has evolved into something that I thought it wasn't possible for the longest of times. Yeah. I thought we were gonna reach this stage in like 2-3 years time.
Yeah.
But it's just suddenly hit us, and it's really awesome.
It's mind blowing.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And the other thing that is really nice is we've had so many emails about people that have had anxiety, depression, or whatever they're going through.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned it before, but we do get a few, and it's really nice, and it helps us and reminds us about what's important and things.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the reason why we quite early on started showing up for ASMR people on YouTube.
I don't know.
Because we help with that kind of thing, maybe. I don't know. That's just a theory.
Maybe. Yeah, could be. Could be,
yeah.
But either way, thank you very much to everyone. We say thank you a lot, but yeah, we really do mean it. And any volunteers or anyone wants to help out and get aboard this snowball, because we're rolling down that hill.
and another thing, obviously, we've had a few people say that they're confused by the paranormality scale.
Yeah, myself included.
So obviously, yeah, to start with, we thought it was a really good idea to rate things on how believable they were or how paranormal it was. Mm. And then we started covering some things that weren't quite so paranormal.
But weird and interesting.
But we still liked them, so we were still rating them high. And yeah. And people were coming along and going, well, that's obviously fake. It's obviously this, you know. Why did you give that an 8.5 when it should be like 3?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, well, because we like it. So... So let's draw the line here now, right? The paranormality scale is just how much we like it.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Going forward, it's how much we like it.
We will take believability and paranormality into account, but the actual scale is just basically going to be how much we like this.
Yes, yeah, 100%. But then if it is a national disaster or something like that, it might just be other things involved, not how much we like it. Because obviously you can't like a national disaster or conspiracy theory. But like JFK, for example, you've got to kind of rate it on the evidence and the research.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's not how much we laugh at it, or you know, it's how much we enjoy the conspiracy or enjoy the experience of researching it and that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that... For everybody that's confused about the paranormality scale, so are we.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're just making that the rule now.
For the longest time, we just carried on with it. Like, I don't know what we're doing, but we like it. So now it's officially how much we like it.
How much we like it, yeah.
And then other people can join in and tell us how much they rate things. And then we'll know, oh, they've scored it an 8. They must have liked that episode. And also, that would help us for the future. So if we do an episode and cover a topic and everyone rates it a 2 or a 3, we're like, right, okay, let's not do that style topic for a while or whatever. So,
well, let's put it out there. Well, you can always write to us and send in topics that you think that we could cover. Mm-hmm. You know, quite often there are current events going on that you'll find on TikTok or whatever, or I'll read in the news or something. We don't know if it'll make a full podcast or not.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, there was reports of these weird spheres. Were they metal? I think they were metal spheres.
Yeah, metal spheres.
Appearing on beaches.
Yeah. I think the first one was on Australian beach or possibly Japan, then Australia.
Yeah, something like that. They were all over the world, though, weren't they? Just for a few weeks, just started appearing. And there wasn't really much media coverage of it. You did see a few posts here and there.
Yeah, and it was a weird one.
We put them down on the list, but then couldn't really find out enough about them to make a full episode.
No.
But that was, I mean, that was weird.
I saw two things about it. One in favour of them being paranormal and the other one with a logical explanation. So the first one was the paranormal side of it was obviously it's aliens delivering things and we can't get inside the spheres, but it's out of this world. And then the other one was, it was a promotion for a sci-fi film.
I'll tell you what, it's a bloody good promotion.
Yeah. So they're the two stories I've heard about it. But I don't know, because they looked pretty darn cool with like hieroglyphics and things on the sides. And there was like indentations and stuff. So it's a bit...
Yeah, very ornate, weren't they?
Yeah. And also, surely... Well, I don't know, actually. I was thinking someone would have seen them... If it was a
promotional thing, you'd have thought you'd seen it, someone would have been spotted putting it in position.
Right? Yeah. Because
no one knows how they ended up on these beaches. I mean, you assume that they wash up, but kind of 4-ton metal ball wash up out of the ocean that easily?
Yeah, you'd think it'd sink to the bottom, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting one.
And like another one that you mentioned to me earlier about this new US drone.
Oh, yes.
I've not heard about this one, so this must be a fairly recent thing.
I saw a video of it. Maybe 2-3 days ago.
Yeah.
And it freaked me out. So I don't know that much on it. It was just, it was another podcast talking about it, because it was another conspiracy podcast and they all had tinfoil hats on and stuff. And he just mentioned it. So I thought, well, I think our listeners deserve to hear about this because it's kind of freaky. It freaked me out. So essentially, the US government have a drone that is shaped like the old stealth bombers, but it's kind of like white and gray.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot smaller, obviously, and it has cameras on the top that screen the sky, and it has like screens and mirrors underneath. So it basically just goes through. So it
converts the sky, films the sky, and then projects it on the screen on the bottom. Yeah. So if you're looking up at it,
it's completely naked.
You see sky.
Naked to the human eye. We can't actually see it.
I gotta say, I think you'd see some kind of distortion, wouldn't you? Surely, you know, like Predator, the old Predator movie, that chameleon effect that they developed for that. I would imagine that you'd see something like that. Do you remember Top Gear? Top Gear did something. Richard Hammond did something similar with a van in Top Gear, where he put massive TV screens, and he made the invisible car. He was driving it around the streets. Do you remember?
Oh, I actually don't remember that.
Do you know? It's definitely on an episode. Was it Top Gear or was it Grand Tour? I can't remember now. But yeah, you do get at least a little bit of distortion where, you know, it's not quite sized up right or something. But it does look, for all intents and purposes, pretty much invisible.
I mean, the only one I've seen is there's guys that have they want to replicate speeder bikes from Star Wars. So
I've seen that. Yeah, with the jet hose.
Oh, the chrome. They have chrome covering the wheels, and it's like that far off the ground. So when it's driving along, it's just reflecting the road. Oh, so it actually looks like it's hovering.
What I've seen is people do it flying around on lakes. Because you know that you can get those water jet packs where you can, like, you stand on a thing and it sucks the water and then blows jet packs out from your feet, and you can basically float around over the top of the lake. Someone built speeder bikes with that technology in it.
Oh, that's pretty dumb.
So it sucks the water up through a hose and then just out through the bottom of the speeder bike. And there's these dudes just like flying around a lake. I'll have to show you.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
But I think the reason that the drone is naked to the eye is because obviously it's so far up in the sky that we wouldn't be able to see this distortion.
Oh, yeah, I suppose, the distortion would be fairly negligible then, wouldn't it?
But it did freak me out, man, when I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no one's got actual pictures, but there was a... What's the word? I was about to say a reincarnation. You know, a dramatisation kind of thing?
Yeah,
it's like a little short video of... well, there was some stock footage of photos, but then most of it was just like a... I was about to say reincarnation again. Dramatization.
Reconstruction,
that's the one. Of what it would do and how it would look and things like that. But it was a little bit freaky that technology has got to that point now where you can make yourself invisible or make things invisible.
Oh, fair play.
Yeah. And that reminds me of the other current event thing. Have you heard about the new Mandela effect theory?
No, I haven't. You mentioned this earlier, just before we started the podcast, and I wrote it down, but no, I've not heard a new one.
Again, I only saw this a couple of days ago. So it's not been proven or anything like that. Obviously, this is all speculation and theory. Mm. But there was one guy who had the thought that maybe we're not all going crazy. So there was a woman who was going to therapy saying that, I know that Fruit of the Loom had a cornucopia on it, you know, the funnel things that Thanksgiving have with the fruits in.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
so she was adamant about it, and she went to therapy about it and was like, I'm going crazy because I know.
Yeah, I think they did.
She continued, and this is the thing: if you Google it, you speak to people on online and things, they're making you believe that no, Fruit of the Loom, and then Fruit of the Loom even had all of their logos for over the years, and there was no cornucopia, not at all.
No,
she went through all of her old clothes. Lo and behold, she found one with a cornucopia, which got this guy thinking that maybe this is much bigger than we all think. And the Mandela effect is just governments and people higher up trying to see if they can get away with changing history. And if they can change these little things without us noticing and making us think that, you know, they're gaslighting us to the extreme.
Yeah.
In the future, what's to say that they can't change, start changing bigger things, and we're all just going to go, oh, no, yeah, I guess it's always been like that. So it's just another little theory that this guy came out with. Yeah. And now I can't stop thinking about it because she actually had the proof. That's the difference.
Well, that's the thing. We've seen, I think there was that with the Berenstain Bears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
someone
yeah.
actually found a video with the,
yeah, yeah.
the wrong spelling on it and stuff like that. So.
And the same with the Sinbad.
Or does it actually confirm the multidimensional theory, the dimensional shift theory?
There is that theory. But the Sinbad one is even crazier as well. I know we've already covered Mandela effects, but
yeah.
I don't even know if we mentioned that in the episode. But there's a famous American comedian called Sinbad.
Yeah.
And there's so many people have said they've sat down when they were a kid and watched Sinbad in like a genie movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And even him himself has come out and said, no, I never shot that video. And then someone had it on like old VHS. And they were like, how do you explain this?
Yeah.
But they're still sticking to it, saying, no, it never happened. So it's nuts to me that this theory has legs for me,
yeah.
personally. But yeah, it's just interesting. I've got goosebumps even talking about it then, that maybe they're trying to brainwash us. I don't know. I don't want to get too crazy in conspiracy. I don't want to go all Truman on everyone. But I don't know. It's just worth mentioning.
Yeah. So the only other thing that I really wanted to bring up from past episodes or episodes that we've recently covered, because now I've apologised to small people for the leprechauns, and we've done Mandela effects and all that sort of thing. Now we also had some quite polarised messages from the reptilians
video. Yeah.
Specifically, some people saying, was Pirate high when he gave that paranormality rating?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, now, I just want to set the slate clean and say, right, the reason why I gave it such a high score was literally because of the whole idea that alien DNA could mm-hmm. be present in human beings, and potentially some of that DNA could be reptilian in nature.
Yes.
I wasn't giving it a high score because I believe in shape-shifting aliens running the country and, you know, that sort of thing. That to me is still barely believable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable, really. But considering that when we spoke to Philip Mantle, where we had that story about the woman who tested her daughter's DNA and found that she had extra chromosomes,
mm-hmm.
I find it entirely believable that some people could be walking around this earth with alien DNA in their makeup. And that is the reason why I gave the reptilians, well, I can't maybe remember how high it was. I think it was in the sevens or something. And you were like,
you rated it quite high.
Yeah, and it was like six or seven, something like that. And you were like, no, I'm 8-3 at best. Which I agree with you, really. When I think about it, I probably did score it far too high, even for the way I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of wanted to go above 5 just because that's that unbelievability line, isn't it, that we always say?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just wanted to give it just, you know, a couple of extra just to say, look, I believe this DNA could be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was my reasoning. So
yeah, that's fair enough.
So that's cleared that up.
I mean, I agree with you. I think reptilians, especially my mate Sam, he went to town on us. He was just like, I can't believe you believe in any way about this rubbish. Like, he is dead against it. He's like, it's the most ridiculous conspiracy theory. I think I'm
kind of surprised that Skeptic Louis didn't rip into me more than he did.
No, no. I mean, he is Skeptic Louis, but I think there's some things that he thinks and believes in that I'm like, I don't understand. Like, so I don't know. But Sam's a very down to earth person, so for him to enjoy our podcast and give us constructive criticism and enjoy a lot of episodes, for him to turn around and be like, mate, I can't believe reptilian. Like, what is pirate thinking? Like, yeah. I actually kind of agreed with him. I was like, yeah, maybe pirate did rate that a bit high.
I think I did rate it high, but I just wanted to tip it above that five just to say that I believe in the DNA side of things, not in shape-shifting reptilians, you know, and all that side of things. No, I don't.
No, it's a crazy conspiracy.
But your mate, Sam, he has his own podcast, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Hidden Gems of Wrestling. Yes, and with Alec.
You've told me that there are some conspiracy theories within wrestling.
There's a couple, yeah.
Should we get Sam on?
Yeah.
Sam, do you want to come on our podcast? Please say yes.
Yeah, I have briefly spoke to him about it before. The only thing I'm thinking is the couple of conspiracy theories that I know are quite dark. They're quite heavy.
Right.
They involve murder and things.
Ooh.
So, I mean, technically it would be more of a true crime podcast, but for one of them, I know there's a little bit of Satanism involved.
Oh, that's definitely down our alley.
So we can cover it, but
I think we need to invite him on.
Yeah, we'll reach out to Sam, see if we can go through. The only reason as well, I wanted to give it a little bit of a break because we've had our good friend Truman on the show, and he is a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to make the show wrestling heavy, but there is definitely some cool conspiracy.
Well, it's one of your interests, so, you know, I don't mind entertaining it every once in a while, you know?
Yeah. Sam will take us through that. I'm sure he knows way more about it than I do.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've actually run further over time than I thought we would. I thought this was going to be a short episode, and we're now over 40 minutes. So
nice.
We're doing well. But yeah, I mean, if you want to, at home, if you think that you can think of topics that you'd think we'd find interesting, even books, if you want us to book dive, we're probably not going to do that many book dives from now. We've got a lot of interest in authors being interviewed.
Yeah,
obviously from Philip Mantle, he's constantly sending us emails saying interview this person. So we might do a few of that going forward. Mm. I think with the book dives, probably once, maybe twice a year, we'll do that.
But the interviews with the authors, we're happy to do, but we're not necessarily going to have read the book and do like 3-4 parts.
Yeah, it takes so much time.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody at home's got to wait a week in between the parts. And, you know, it's like a month before you actually get the entire story, which is kind of frustrating. So we're going to keep that to sort of a minimum from now on. Not saying that we're going to stop doing it, but...
Yeah, and some of our listeners ratted me out and they caught me falling asleep in part two. So, yeah.
So you were very quiet in part two.
That's how I feel about book dives. We've got a... do it carefully, but it's different because the
well done. Hey, you haven't done that for a while.
A good job. It's at the end of the pod. The vertical plane, the Doddleston messages. It was slightly different because it was just a different story. But I could tell you were passionate about it and stuff. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Whereas the Chronicles of Mayanai, although it was an interesting story and there's a lot to it, it's also a lot of information. Do you know what I mean? It's a lot to take in, whereas it was...
A lot to digest, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a different kind of story, in a way.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our explanation for a couple of things that we've maybe messed up with over the last, 6 months worth of... Probably not even that, 6 months worth of episodes.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be more.
And this is the direction that we're going. Hopefully that's explained the paranormality scale.
Yep.
And we're putting ourselves out there. If you want to join our crew, let us know. Mm. And I guess there's no scale this week, so I can simply say,
yeah,
come and find us on Discord or send us an email. And I hope that you enjoy the show for the next year as much as you did for the last year.
Yeah, big things coming.
Big things, very big. And with that, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta!
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Bombas presents unsolicited gifting advice. Number one, if they say not to get them anything, get them something. Two, underwear is a great gift, just not for your boss. And three, those absurdly soft Bombas socks and slippers you've been eyeing for yourself, they'll love those. And the fact that for every item you purchase, another is donated to someone who needs it, they'll love that even more.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, I'm Kristen Meinzer, host of Health Matters, a Mayo Clinic podcast investigating topics big,
the influence of gravity,
and small,
brain-eating amoeba.
We talk about our health, bodies, and the world around us.
Get off the toilet, you're going to have hemorrhoids.
So join me in conversation with some Mayo Clinic experts as we strive for happier, healthier lives. Mayo Clinic's Health Matters, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.